Scott Farley is the head football coach at Jackson High, and the Coaches Association, at least part of that group, got together this week with Mark Ewell, the new director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Scott, thanks for stopping by. What can you tell us what happened at that meeting?
Well, Mark just kind of reiterated where the MHSAA is at this point and really emphasized that they're focused on 3 points. One is playing the fall season in the fall, which a lot of us are anxious about, obviously. The second one is their second point is that their plan is, and they're going to function in a way that they can have 3 seasons, fall, winter, and spring during the school year. And then the third point is that they do have contingencies, obviously, if things happen beyond their control, that they will manipulate things around to make it work, either switching seasons if that becomes clear that needs to be done, or if they have a situation like last winter where they have to discontinue a season kind of midstream, that they are committed to finding a way to come back and finish that season.
Is that changing seasons, would that be a last resort, Scott?
Absolutely. You know, I think there's so many more contingencies and issues that creates than what people realize, because it's a very easy thing to say, but a very, very difficult thing to implement. And then the question becomes, okay, it's, you know, we want to avoid playing football in the fall, so let's flip the seasons, and now you're going to play boys lacrosse in the fall, which is not an altogether different game. So, it's far more difficult than people think.
Yeah. Football's probably the elephant in the room right now, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And you know, it would be naive to not recognize the fact that, you know, a great deal of the MHSAA's revenue comes from football playoffs. And so, you know, that being the case, they are particularly committed to trying to get a season in for sure.
So what do you think, Scott?
Well, I think we're in crazy times. I think, you know, if we're going to play this fall, everybody's going to have to kind of change the way they do things. And it's going to create a lot more just kind of non-football administrative things to fall on coaches and athletic trainers and those kinds of things. And how we practice and how we function in locker rooms and how the game looks is going to be very different, hopefully for the short term.
Yeah. How would the game look different?
Well, you know, for example, you know, you're not going to have your entire team and coaching staff crowded. You know, when the ball gets inside the 25-yard line, you can't have everybody crowded together to get a good view of the game. I mean, you've got to keep kids socially distanced when they're not in play. And so not only do I need to have a get-back coach that keeps everybody back off of the sideline, but I'm going to need to have somebody who's monitoring and making sure everybody's staying separated. They're going to allow the normal player box goes from 25 to 25, and that's going to be expanded to the 10-yard line, so there's more room to spread out. And timeouts will look different because they'll probably be longer from every individual kid is going to need their own personal water bottle, so the timeout will get called, and then the kids will have to go find their own individual water bottle, and then they'll come and get their instructions. So you won't have the trainer out there squirt bottle on everybody during a timeout.
That's interesting. I've talked to almost all the superintendents here over the past couple months, and none of them have been very optimistic about football until I did talk to Jeff Beal yesterday, and he thought they could play football this fall.
Well, I think we can, and it's going to be different. You know, we were talking last night, you know, when you go away Are you going to have a locker room, or do you even want a locker room? And you know, we typically get to a site an hour and a half before kickoff and kind of go through this elongated warm-up that starts an hour before kickoff. Well, we may want to just get there 45 minutes before kickoff, throw our pads on, and start warming up and just play, mm-hmm. rather than to expose our kids to a visiting locker room and expose the visiting locker room to our kids. So that may just be a whole different way of doing things, and I think practice and games and transportation is going to be an issue, and all kinds of things that you haven't thought about in years past that you're going to have to think about now.
Likely, no fans or just family? What do you think there?
It just depends on what phase we're in. You know, if we try to play football when we're still in phase four, I think you're not going to see any fans probably. And if we can get to phase five, you know, maybe we'll have limited. I don't think you'll see unlimited fans, even an outside event until, you know, we get to phase six, which is, you know, post-pandemic with a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll create some headaches for athletic directors for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and we even talked, I was talking to Jack Fairley yesterday, and, you know, what happens if Jackson decides we're not, regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what our conference is doing or what the rest of the state is doing, we're not going to allow fans at our games because we think that's the safe thing to do. Well, if we're playing Chelsea and Chelsea doesn't have that rule, and now Chelsea's, you know, parents, you know, and it just creates a lot of headaches. And so you've got to factor in things beyond what you think is the safest thing for your program, but factor in everybody else's program too.
Yeah. Will you need uniformity there in that regard?
Well, I think that would be ideal, but I don't think anybody can expect that everybody's school, even within the same conference, is going to have the same feelings about those kinds of things. And, mm-hmm. you know, one school might provide a locker room for visiting teams and other schools might not. You know, I mean, not everybody has the same facilities available and those kinds of things. So
sure.
It'll be interesting.
Now, the big question, I guess, if somebody gets sick, what happens?
And that's not what's been made clear. That's the question right now that no one can answer. And a lot of it's going to have to do with the availability of testing and the availability of, you know, information relative to, you know, I think everybody's concern is that one kid or one coach is going to test positive and we're going to shut the program down for 14 days. And we're hearing more and more information that, you know, if somebody tests positive and then you can get everybody tested after that, then it may only be a 2 or 3 day break. So, but you're going to have to make, you know, provisions for what happens if, you know, Rob Dillon tests positive and he's your offensive coordinator and he's not going to be able to be available for the game on Friday night. What
sure.
are you going to do then? And what are you going to do when, you know, your head JV coach tests positive and now Corey Slater's not going to be there. And so now you've got to, you know, readjust. So those are all things you're going to need to plan for because that could get thrust on you at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the day of a game. So, a lot of it's going to have to be, and it's going to be tough because a lot of it's going to rely on teenage boys and football coaches being honest with themselves and being honest with everyone else about how they feel. Because, you know, a 17-year-old senior in high school that's got one last football season to go, and he's not feeling well when he comes to practice, is he going to tell you that he doesn't feel well and go home and not potentially infect everybody else?
Right.
You know, those are all going to be issues that everybody's going to have to work through.
What about testing players?
We're being told that Jackson in particular is in a pretty good place in terms of testing. I don't know that we'll test everybody ahead of time going in, but if we do have issues midstream, that it won't be an issue for us to get everybody tested.
Yeah, if you thought somebody needed a test, you could get that done?
Oh, for sure. And we have the benefit at Jackson High of having the Center for Family Medicine right here on campus. And so,
yeah,
you know, we could run them right across the parking lot and get them tested.
Of course, you've got it. We've got schools 600 miles away that are probably in a different boat than we are down here in South Central Lower Michigan.
Oh, that's a fact, and that's what complicates things in a state like Michigan is, right now we've got two regions of our state that are in phase five already, and they're wondering, well, why aren't we allowed to play 7-on-7, and why aren't we allowed to do camps because we're in a different place than everybody else is, and you know, if I was coaching in Traverse City, I'd probably feel the same way.
But
Detroit and Grand Rapids are very different spot, and Jackson was in a very different spot 2 months ago than it is right now.
Yeah, the last couple weeks have been probably concerning for the coaches.
Well, it is, and you see more cases, and you see, honestly, though, a lot of what needs to get looked at are some different metrics other than the ones you see on the news, and hopefully those will turn out in our favor as well.
Do you take your cues at all, Scott, from what you see in college? Of course, the Ivy League shut right down yesterday, and I'm sure there's going to be pressure on maybe some schools to do that.
Well, I think there is, and everybody, it's really easy to dismiss the Ivy League as being, the Ivy League, and they're different than everybody else. But if you'll remember back in March, they were the ones that first canceled their men's basketball tournament on March 10th, and everybody kind of thought that was hysterical and an overreach, and 3 days later everybody was canceled.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, if that creates a domino effect across the country. But we are taking our, at the high school level in Michigan, we are taking our cues from the college level, because just from a common sense standpoint, if the MIAA is playing and the GLIAC is playing and the MAT, if Central Michigan can play at Northern Illinois, or Michigan State can play at Rutgers, or, Elma can play at Trine, there really shouldn't be a reason why Jackson doesn't play at Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, our hope is that those college conferences that play in the state of Michigan will continue to stay in the fall. And the MIAA has already come out very strongly that they are going to play in the fall.
How was Mark Ewell positive or guarded?
He's very, very positive, and I think it was really great that Mark was in on the call, and one of the things that we've really been grateful for in the last 2 or 3 years is that our coaches association relationship with the MHSAA has improved significantly, and Mark being in charge has been a big part of that, and he's a former football coach who feels very strongly about the necessity of football and the value of football in the public education system, and has a son who's a senior football player at DeWitt High School, and he, just as a dad, he's going to do everything he can to try to make sure his son and all the other boys in the state of Michigan have the opportunity to play.
As a teacher, Scott, what are you anticipating in September?
Honestly, right now, I'm not anticipating anything, because I think anticipating anything is a waste of time at this point, because there could be anything. I think we could be anywhere from full on all day, 5 days a week in school, to 5 days not in school and doing the online thing. And so my guess is we might be somewhere in between, but we'll just have to wait and see. I know I teach PE in the field house at Jackson High. It wouldn't be hard to socially distance, 35 or 40 kids in that environment. But I know if I was at 30 kids in a government class in one of the classrooms at Jackson High, that would be impossible to keep them 6 feet apart. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out, especially if we're still in phase four.
Yeah, and you You've got the construction going on over there. There's a lot of balls in the air.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. You never know where you're going to park every day you come in. So,
right.
It'll be interesting. But it's an impressive building. The pool that's going in next to Jackson High. We're out at conditioning at the stadium every day, and it's just amazing to see that how that is expanded on an almost daily basis.
So, are you get together with the kids every day now?
We're working out Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We are working out in the morning. We give them an option to work out in the morning or the evening. Mm-hmm. We're doing it that way. Very similar to what we've done in the past. We're just not using the weight room, and we're just not using the gym and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we have the luxury of some great stadium stairs for them to run every day, so that's going pretty well.
Those are nasty. Those are nasty.
I've been here, this is my eighth year, and I haven't even walked all the way to the top. So,
Hey, Scott, thanks so much for stopping by. What's next? Just take it day by day?
Just wait and see. You know, Mark kind of indicated that we would get a definitive final answer sometime between the 15th and the 25th of July. So we'll spend the next two or three weeks just kind of holding our breath and trying to figure out where we go from here.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Take care. Jackson High head football coach, Scott Farley.